Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-market fairly stable following the lightest S&P volume day in about 4 weeks. Bank regulators on the Hill today. We've got earnings from Walgreens, PVH, of course, Micron, Lulu tonight. Roadmap's going to begin with the Alibaba breakup, planning to split into six units and explore separate IPOs. Shares are popping ahead of the open.
Plus AI in the metaverse, Disney's metaverse unit getting the axe, while Goldman warns of potential significant disruption to the labor market due to AI. And there's a leadership shakeup at Lyft. Will it be enough to stem that stock's continued slide?
Let's begin with Alibaba, up sharply in the pre-market on this decision to split into six independent entities, including cloud, Chinese e-commerce, global e-commerce, a media and entertainment group. Each unit will have its own CEO and board. The move comes one day after founder Jack Ma returned to mainland China for the first time in almost a year, and sort of dovetails with this push, Jim, to meet with Apple and ASML.
Yeah, it's a charm offensive. Yeah. And everybody knows that Bob is the love stock. They could do it with Baidu coming up. You start thinking, what happens if Amazon did this? Where would Amazon go? I mean, look, this is just a typical Chinese trap, all right? This is what they do. You know, they tried to do a couple of IPOs the other day. They were bombs. So why not go with the big gun, sucker everybody in, get things a little bit more, copacetic between the two of us so they can take more of our money. Now, David, they are really about as brilliant as I've ever seen in terms of conning us. This is one of the best cons I've ever seen.
Wow.
This is going to get everybody in.
Why are you so cynical on this?
Because of the fact that the Seventh Fleet? How about because of Taiwan? How about because our two countries aren't talking? I mean, but then, what are they talking throughout? Let's go get some American money. Hey, maybe we line up J.P. Morgan on the IPOs. Why not do that? Get J.P. Morgan in. A lot of money to be made. U.S. is craving. They're just capitalist dolts.
It does seem... It's not certain that there are going to be IPOs of all of these different units.
Well, it depends how much money they can give
obviously
us.
Obviously, e-commerce being by far the largest single part of it.
Craven capitalism versus totalitarian capitalism. I'll take totalitarian capitalism any day because they win. Oh, David, all those people, all those emerging markets people, this is our chance. Oh, let's get in.
But you said it. If Amazon were to say something like this, or even Alphabet, which already has segregated a number of its businesses into the other bets that don't really seem to work out, their stocks would respond positively. And in this case, you've got a lot of analysts doing some of the parts and saying, listen, the thing trades at less than 10 times earnings. And so if you get a 10 multiple on e-commerce, you get worth $100 a share. Cloud intelligence, 15 a share at 3 times revenues. Again, based on sort of the typical market multiples for many of these different businesses. You get very small here, digital media and entertainment. Yeah. Not quite sure how they can
I was just being naked and honest, okay?
But you're talking about macro versus micro.
Well, you can invest
in Alibaba today because they're doing this.
What a great opportunity. It's fantastic. There'll be a lot of IPOs. I think that J.P. Morgan Asian desk must be salivating. Maybe Morgan Stanley, Goldman's integral. Everybody's happy. And then the investors, they come in now and they just get completely butchered. But that's okay because this is international commerce, David. And the fact that I'm willing to tell the truth is shocking.
How are they going to get butchered, though, Jim? In other words, your thought is this is nothing more than a headline that will not be followed up by actual action or what?
Come in 94. No, they'll do everything. I'm just saying that. They have to lure, that's L-U-R-E for you non-Philadelphians, us back in because lately they haven't been able to take any of our money. The IPOs have been failures. This is good, David. This is planting a flag right now,
they're a long way from IPOs, and there are people being encouraged simply by the idea that when you segregate these businesses, you can fire more people, frankly, because you have direct reporting lines. It's a lot more helpful.
Okay, I worked at Goldman Sachs. I go in today. I go into my syndicate desk, corporate finance. Say, guys, we're back. We're back. We're bigger than ever. Does anyone say, you know what, they've suckered us on every... This is it. Joe and Lai's back. Joe's back. It's one of my faves. Joe and Lai, capless rotor. What's going on?
Sort of takes us, it does take us back to IPO day for Alibaba when Jack Ma sat here with us, talked about Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And David asked him how he sort of ladders the priorities of customers, employees, and shareholders. Here's what he said.
Got a lot more shareholders today. Is that going to change at all in any way the way you view your business or run your business?
Well, I think, Stu, as always, I believe that customer number one, employee number two, and shareholder number three. But today, what we've got is not money. What we've got is the trust from the people. Millions of small business, so many shareholders. I'm very honored and so excited because when you see these shareholders, you know, the responsibility. I've been thinking about the next 5 and 10 years, how I can making sure these shareholders be happy. But the very important things, make these guys, people standing there, if they are successful, we all be happy. That's what I believe.
Well, there you go. All right, feel better.
How about the fact that long road for Alibaba since then. Obviously, the company had almost $700 billion market value sort of at the top towards the towards the beginning of the pandemic there,
okay, and so they
suffered
us,
greatly
they give
since
us TikTok,
then.
They give us, you know, kind of a mall.
Yeah.
They give us a lot of shopping, Amazon. You know what they want? They want $2.5 billion in Lam Research equipment so they can make semiconductors that are better than what went into the 486. That's what this is about. It's about Applied Materials. It's about Lam. They can't make the stuff that they need for to be able to defend themselves in the coming whatever they have to do against our military. David, this is a charm offensive to get Lam.
You're jumping from Alibaba saying it's basically this is being done as a result of pressure from the Communist Party to do this because of the continuing competition between our countries specific to technology and the CHIPS Act, for example, which will not allow those who take money from the CHIPS Act to actually help the Chinese develop advanced semiconductors.
I can't say it as well as you did. I think that's completely what it is.
I just don't
know if I
want
to. You're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to say what I'm saying.
You really are drawing that connection, huh? It's just instead of saying, hey, it's a company that, by the way, the stock has, you know, had a rough go of it.
Okay.
They feel like they're going to be better off splitting into a lot of different things for reporting.
It's Lenin in 1925. It's a new economic policy. What do you want me to say? This is what they do. Carl, the Communist Party is very worried about the semiconductors.
Yeah. I mean, ASML, with this statement this morning, they met with the Minister of Commerce, who said that China is committed to promoting high-level opening up, creating a good business environment for international companies, including ASML.
Let 1,000 Starbucks cups bloom. I mean, come on. It's so naked that it's almost famous. Good drink, by the way. Naked and famous. I kind of look at this and just say, we're just such a bunch of damn capitalist fools in this country. We'll actually buy it. Here we have a Secretary of Commerce who's willing to stand up to them. But these guys come back and say, IPO? Holy cow, how's the quarter?
So whether or not you played in this one, does it not open a runway for IPOs in general?
What, from Chinese?
No, of any kind.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, no, because this is going to be... This is different. Our IPO is somewhat stymied by Silicon Valley.
Right now the capital markets here are not doing much of anything, as we know.
They'll jam that.
You're getting hardly any deals done, including even debt financing deals, which you got to start to get moving again.
You don't find it quizzical that they are trying to get semiconductors so that they throw us a bone of Alibaba. You don't find
that
quizzical.
You think it's more about that than TikTok?
Well, TikTok, yeah, they want to figure it out. TikTok, because it's important that they find out what 150 million people are watching.
Because
they need that data.
Having a hard time believing, and maybe call me naive, that the Communist Party is dictating corporate actions like this at Alibaba.
You're kidding me, right? You're like, really?
No,
You need a vacation.
I mean, I did spend time there. I mean, I used to hang out with Jack Ma. He was no...
I studied China for 2 years in Harvard, okay?
He was not a... He was not a favorite of the party. By the way, do you remember what he did a number of years ago that completely screwed the Ant IPO, which would have been the biggest of all time, when he came out and criticized the regulators and then they banished him?
Okay, now you're taking my side. What are you like?
I guess I'm just trying to work through it in my head.
He's a triple schizophrenic today.
I've spent enough time with you. It's finally happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it seems. And okay, let me back up and be statesmanlike.
Oh, my God. Now you're going to be me.
What an odd coincidence that here you've got. They're worried about TikTok and 150 million people, though, because they want that information.
They want our data and they want our chips.
Who can blame them? They probably want our credit, or they want our Social Security. So they can't get. They're worried about TikTok. They need to have the American capitalist goons and knaves and mountebanks on their side, which is easy enough because they got a lot of IPO money. And they need to have Lam Research, because you can't make the chips that can make effective battleships and aircraft carriers and planes if you don't have those. So what do? They give us shares of Alibaba, and then they mute us because they think we're such a bunch of capitalist hacks. And they're right. That's what's really interesting. They have more discipline. They're smarter than we are in that sense. They know that in the end, if you throw away some IPO dollars.
If we were smarter, would we also insist that Apple and Tesla stop selling or manufacturing goods there?
Made in China is fine in China. It's when you export to China. Made in China, you're fine.
So it's okay if it's made in China and exported here, like every iPhone.
No, did I say that? I said made in China, sold in China.
All right. This was made in China.
Okay, well. Look, I'm just saying that it seems like a quizzical time to bring this deal, given the fact that every day you come in here.
They haven't brought the deal, Jim.
No, okay,
all right, they've announced the reorganization of the units that are going to have a board of directors, CEOs, so that it will lend itself to an IPO at one time.
Okay, I'm going to go to my colleague over here. You know, Carl, what a great opportunity. Maybe we ought to just give them the $2.5 billion from Lam, because that stuff's key and it's cutting edge. In return, a lot of banks get fees. It's good because the quarters for the banks, as we know, is going to be very weak. This could offset both commercial real estate, and it could even, I'll tell you the truth, make it so that the better deposit insurance.
You've been calling for a ban on Chinese IPOs here for
a long time.
Because I hate our people to lose money.
We need some sort of we need some sort of cooperation with China. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I know.
We do. I mean, you do. We do. We can't have completely separate systems, which is the way we seem to be going. It's not going to be good. That's not a good thing. It may be ultimately what happens, but
no, I think
you can't argue that that's going
to
be.
But they have to give in on certain things. They have to.
Okay, fair point.
I mean, I think that, you know, look, you want to do the Alibaba, you want to do some of that here. Okay, back off on TikTok. Yeah, separate. Stop having the Chinese Communist Party say it can't be said.
That's an IPO that you're in favor of. TikTok USA.
I don't really want TikTok because my Chapel Trust goes along reels and Mark Zuckerberg's crushing
it. Exactly.
It's not because they're spying. It's because they're going to take over your brain with TikTok.
All I'm saying is I find it. I'm going to back in time. I'm going back like Superman with the 8 seconds and saying I find it quizzical.
Okay.
I keep imagining now this big board back at his house. You know, like a beautiful mind. Like, and he's got the whole thing worked out.
There you go.
Yeah, Communist Party Jack Ma.
Did you notice they have a guy who's president for life?
I did.
We have a commerce secretary that stood up to them. I'm backing her.
I hear you.
Okay?
I'm not disagreeing with a lot of what you're saying.
How many of those 150 million TikTokers vote? Right? How many of the parents want to vote against TikTok? Because they want their kids to be able to go to good schools. Be productive. All right, I said it.
Yep.
Otherwise, I favor competition. Yep, yep. I welcome it. And,
it's true. You know? The Chinese do actually ban a lot of the TikTok apps.
What did Nixon
say
after going to the Museum of the little Statues?
I don't know.
Interesting wrinkle this morning. When we come back, Disney ditching its metaverse unit while Goldman warns of labor market disruption when it comes to AI. Take a look at the pre-market. Pretty steady. We got some calls today on Ulta, Carrier, Paramount, Sienna, Carnival. When we come back.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Disney has exited the metaverse. According to the Journal today, the company has eliminated its next generation storytelling and consumer experience unit, which was responsible for developing metaverse strategies. The division had about 50 members, but the cuts are part of Disney's larger restructuring plan aimed at reducing headcount by about 7,000. And Iger's memo, Jim, yesterday said that there'll be more coming up this summer.
Yeah, I thought this was a big deal because Chapek's, one of his big initiatives was the metaverse. David, if you call, felt that this was maybe a solution for where they were going.
ESPN-related as
yes,
well.
Yes, ESPN, but the idea that maybe you could track players, you could get deeper into
it. Could be right
fantasy.
In the middle of the action somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a good plan.
It might have been. I mean, I don't think that Iger is necessarily opposed to the idea of it, but they're in a cost-cutting mode right now. And
right.
If they don't see an opportunity for real revenue at some point in the not-too-distant future, it's not a part of their plan right now.
I think metaverse is very hard. I think Zuckerberg is saying metaverse is very hard. It's proving harder than people realize.
Yeah, why do you think that is, Jim?
Because I think, first of all, if you have to wear a headset, it's a loser. But second, you need, say, Unity software spending a lot of money to write them checks because you have to follow players individually. I also think that the term itself has become a turn off.
And why do you think it's been harder for Meta? The metaverse.
Well, because I think that they don't really, they're going about it in a way that surprises me. Let's take the way that Jensen Huang's going over what he's done in NVIDIA. First, he lines up a lot of partners. And then he says, listen, what do you need? And we'll give you what you need. Meta is more like, we build it and they'll come. Metaverse. And, you know, that's just not as good a way to do business as the way Jensen's doing. I mean, Jensen sits down and says to Adobe, guys, what would really help? And then Adobe does this incredible thing. It's like, we would like to have a scene that's a summer scene and go to a winter scene. And Eric said, okay, Jensen does it. Jensen is partner-oriented. He is not a man, he doesn't do any missionary work. What he does is make it so that your product is better than you thought. The product that I think, that I see on Metaverse, in Meta, is a product where I'm a cartoon figure.
Right.
And that's a loser.
Right.
Yeah, that's a loser.
The Journal's got this additional story about Meta, trimming some bonuses, offering more frequent reviews, incremental year of efficiency stuff.
Well, I mean, I think some of us who are from Wall Street read that and say, what the hell were you doing? I mean, like, hey, you know, look, everybody stays. David, it's like a big party. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's not a partier. He's not.
The attitude over there has changed, I think. You could say almost dramatically.
See, I think it's like, more like
there's
what
no
Mark's
more
really
free
like.
Lunch. Literally, probably no more free lunch.
Look, Mark Zuckerberg works
cutting out the cafeterias and every floor and the
Mazel
gourmet
tov to his
food.
Kid.
Yeah, and it's the year of efficiency and flatter organizational structure. A lot of different things going on there at Meta. Obviously, they were spending enormous amounts on the metaverse.
Yes.
Let's not forget the thousands of engineers
but
they hired.
I mean, I think that when you see how much money they saved by eliminating people, you know they were overpaying people. I mean, obviously, there was a real issue out in the white-collar recession, which is that you did six interviews with them. You were bidding against Alphabet. Maybe for the other bets division, which I know you love to mention because it's just so ludicrous. And what happens is that game's over. You can get all the engineers you want. They're a dime a dozen. Remember how hard they were get? Just go to Caltech. There's probably a lot of resumes.
Wasn't that long ago that it was difficult to find engineers? I would assume it's still difficult to find the best engineers.
The best engineers.
Yes.
Well, I just think that what they're doing is doing what I call performance reviews.
Although these days you can have AI, you can have ChatGPT for write your simplest code for if you want.
Why not?
Well, you're going to need some of those engineers to write this. We mentioned this Goldman note on AI yesterday. 300 million full-time jobs subject to some form of automation.
Now,
that's going to require some engineers.
Now, what was that meeting like at Goldman? I say 200. I say 400. We're supposed to say 300.
Yeah, I don't know where they became the expert on this, but there are any number of different surveys going on right now that come down to the same conclusion, which is that ChatGPT and or other generative AI kind of platforms are going to replace an awful lot of jobs.
But I think they should.
Unless you're a motorcycle repairman, apparently, did you see that?
My cousin's a
fry cook or one other. There's one other thing. You're fine.
But they're going to get rid of they will eliminate the person who does the drive-thru.
Yes.
Now, they don't say they're going to do that, and they say that they like the person's touch. You don't know that it's not a person, for heaven's sake. That's the whole point of it. you don't know.
It's going to replace a lot of accountants, apparently.
See, now, if Goldman had said, we see 287,536,000 jobs limit, I'd go with it. But they use that kind of broad number. It's early days.
These are huge productivity gains.
Jensen,
and you get to a point, and then, of course, human species, no more.
Jensen said,
not sure where that is.
No, Jensen says ultimately it's going to produce more jobs because there's going to be more new things. It's not.
Maybe.
David, this produced a lot of jobs. Remember, Jensen, you ever listened to Tim Cook and all the jobs?
Maybe Jensen's just a simulation or an alien himself. Who knows?
When I went to him, I said, is this a simulation? On his speech. No, it was actually Jensen.
Nice twist.
He might be. You know, people used to say Einstein was a alien. Maybe he is, too.
Well, Einstein, like Mark Benioff's Einstein?
I don't know. Einstein.
Yeah, like they're among us.
Albert.
And have been for
exactly.
years.
Exactly. And your buddy Jensen is one of them, and he's basically planting the seeds for the end of the human species. Then his species can come and take us over. What do you think?
I think he's a humanitarian who's trying to combat waste. And everybody loves him except for you. But I patched up you and Benny off. I'll do it with you and Jensen.
You did.
That was not easy.
I'm sure it wasn't. And I appreciate it because Mark
is a
great man.
When we come back, Cramer's Mad Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell. We'll get to a little bit more in media with these calls on Paramount and Fox today out of B of A. Futures pretty close to the flat line. Don't go anywhere.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Take a look at some laggards on the S&P today. You'll see Fox at the top there as Jessica Reif Ehrlich over at B of A downgrades to neutral, goes from 42 to 34, says we struggle to find near-term catalysts to drive shares higher, even argues that their portfolio may be less sensitive to a potential recovery in the ad market. We'll get Jim's take on that in a bit. Opening bell coming up. Don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
All right, we got a minute and a half before we get to an opening bell. Let's squeeze in a mad dash. McCormick is the name.
Yeah. One of my favorite executives is Lawrence Kurtzius. He's the chairman and CEO of McCormick. They've missed the quarter a bunch of times. This was the first quarter that tells me that they may be out of the woods. They've got 5% constant currency sales growth, which is pretty good because they do have a lot of business overseas. And I do think that this may be the beginning of the return of growth we've been waiting for. Now, a lot of the growth did come from price, not from volume. And a lot of people say, well, wait a second, that's not the real situation. What you want General Mills, we had volume and price. But, you know, it's a start. And I think people are going to open the books and look at this again and say, you know what? It did have there was a big negative impact of COVID in China. That's over. And spices are something that do well when people do cook at home, but they also have a service component at work. So I think that the stock is putting in a bottom here.
Okay.
Very good company. Okay. Very well done company.
All right, let's get to the opening bell this morning in the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. At the big board, it is the NYSE's annual Sustainability Leaders Summit. And at the NASDAQ, it's Bentley Systems, an infrastructure engineering software company. One of your takes this morning, Jim, was light volume yesterday, kind of quiet. You don't really mind that.
And I go home last night, and I say, okay, I'm doing my investment club talk. And I've got about 5,000 words. I mean, I spend a lot of time on it. It's once a month. And then I said, all right, let's crack open the books and what reported last night. And they only reported with PBH, and they don't even have a conference call. So, I mean, it was the lightest night of research for anyone who cares about stocks. There literally was nothing. This morning was Walgreens. It looked okay. And, I mentioned McCormick, obviously the Alibaba, but this was the lightest night I have ever. This was a great night to work on the investment club because, boy, there is nothing. I mean, we can talk about Lyft and
right.
How Lyft didn't.
We're going to get to that.
They couldn't pivot. Lyft decided, you know what, we got a couple guys stepping back there, David.
We're going to get to Lyft in a moment. That said, we do get Micron, which some argue will either ratify or not the NDX's move. And then Lulu, can they repeat Nike's inventory?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Nike, the long odds are still up for Nike. I thought the quarter was okay. I think that the problem with Nike is on holding. I'm not kidding. This is the first true challenger to Nike. Now, it's only $1 billion company. Nike would say, Jim, are you out of your mind? They're small. The trajectory of them getting to $1 billion versus Nike, they did it in one-eighth the time of Nike. So Nike's better wake up and realize that On is a performance shoe that has also taken on a fashion element. It's very small right now, but look out. And Hope is doing quite well, too, from Deckers. And that took 10 years to develop. But I think... I don't know. I mean, I'm focused on Nike because I think that Lulu has low expectations. Nike had high expectations. Calvin McDonald, I'm not sure about how well Muir's doing. I know the people at Peloton are saying, Jim, be careful with Muir. Muir's not selling. But I think that Calvin McDonald, I mean, David, the expectations for Lulu are like they're going to miss big because they've missed the last couple times. I look at, by the way, PVH, Stefan Larsson putting up great numbers with Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein. How about that?
Yeah, wow, look numbers. At that.
Well, those were great numbers.
Yeah.
That's a real turn because they have a lot in Europe and they have a constant currency problem like a lot of others. But I think Stefan Larsson, I mean, when I met with these guys, they are on their game. They are re-energizing their business. Don't get in the way of them or RL, which is another company doing really well.
Do I want to take any solace from all these, though, in terms of the state of the consumer, or is it more of a company by company?
A lot of Europe.
All right, that's okay. Europe's a pretty big market.
A lot of Europe.
That's one reason we got the CCL upgrade today, was that Europe was pretty resilient.
Yeah, and RL's going to have a nice roadmap in China. Look, we finally, you know, these stocks are selling at 7, 8, 9, like the multiples are ridiculous. And the people who are running these companies now, they are pros.
There still is this expectation we're going to have a recession pretty soon.
Well, no, this is highest end. Highest end. If you sit down.
I'm just saying about the multiples.
Patrice Lovet. Okay, now he's got a low teens multiple. But Patrice Lovet, Stefan Larsson, these are seasoned fashion hands. And they are, the highest end fashion is still doing. Think about LVMH. It still does.
Yeah, LVMH.
LVMH.
Nothing stops
Bernard
Arnault.
We can't talk about LVMH.
Nothing stops that man.
But I just think that the highest end, David, is working. Now, remember, yesterday we had a downgrade in Ollie's. Very interesting. Now, the lowest end, not working.
Not working.
No. Ollie's closed. No, you don't need Ollie's closed. TJ, my charitable trust, owns it. It's not doing much of anything, candidly. I thought the quarter was good, but they had the guts to admit that people were stealing. Take a look at Walgreens. I didn't see anything in the release about theft.
Guys, on the research front, and Carl, you'd mentioned a downgrade of Fox by Jessica Reif Ehrlich. Still an influential analyst, whether she was Jessica Reif, Jessica Reif Cohen, or Jessica Reif Ehrlich.
I was going to make that same joke, but I decided to hold back.
Well, I did it.
Okay.
I don't know why. It just came to me.
She's the axe.
She's been there for a long time, and she still has a great deal of influence. Paramount shares are up almost 7% because she did upgrade Paramount at the same time. She was not particularly positive on Fox. She just talks about asset value. There's Fox. She talks about asset value at Paramount, saying in the near term they appear focused on scaling their flagship DTC service, but sort of skeptical about how well they can succeed given the relatively smaller scale versus peers, however, she thinks two likely outcomes. One is they successfully execute, and the other is they don't, which could lead the company to sell, in our view, likely at a significant premium. She notes, of course, sale of BET. There was interest in Showtime. They chose not to sell that.
$3 billion? Was that real?
You know, I've heard it might have been real. David Nevinson, along with private equity, maybe coming in and trying to buy Showtime, but backers decided it was better off being a part of Paramount Plus, which has had the best subscriber growth of any of the DTC services. That said, this is a company on track to potentially lose money, be negative cash flow this year. Still spending a lot on Paramount Plus. Real questions in terms of at least why they maintain the dividend. Well, we know why. It's to actually pay Sherry. And then the question becomes, Sherry Redstone, who controls the company, what is her, what does she want? Will she ever really consider a sale, either in pieces or in whole? Will she ever get to the point where Paramount actually is something that would be sold? Clearly, there's a belief that our parent company, Comcast, would have interest in pursuing some sort of transaction were it to be available. I don't know, but that's what's gotten the stock going.
It's pretty unscripted.
Because it's, you know,
it's pretty unscripted, if you ask me.
A lot of it comes down to what Sherry is feeling and thinking about the real, what, unscripted?
It's pretty unscripted, if you ask me. you go to the end of Unscripted. I don't want to spoil it.
I don't watch that show.
It's Jim Stewart's book, Unscripted.
Oh, that's the name of that book?
Yeah, at the end.
By the way, I read every page of that book. I just didn't remember the name.
The name.
I didn't like the title. No offense.
Well, I'm just saying
but
that.
But the book that was good.
It is. It's Shari's call.
Shari's call.
And why would she, after all these years of trying to get it, why would she just sell it?
That's the question.
I think that's the question.
I agree
would
with you.
Would you like a scripted one?
Nobody knows. No, I don't know. I needed something more that stuck in my head. Unscripted.
How about working title?
Could have been anything.
It's a great book.
Jim, really quick, Oxy and Oil.
Oh, Buffett's
stake is now
already.
23.6.
I know.
Cowen today upgrades to outperform. They go to 70.
Well, Oxy, sustainability, a lot of people feel that Oxy is the formula for decarbonization. Oxy, very levered to Permian. The Permian's been awful of late. You know, Warren Buffett is, this stock would be down, would be much, much lower if Warren Buffett weren't buying the stock. But then again, that's like saying, well, so what? I mean.
So would Paramount, by the way. But be lower if they didn't own, I don't know, 16% of the company.
But now, do you really think it's him? I mean, he's just sitting there buying Oxy.
No, I think it's somebody who thinks a transaction's coming. I don't know if it's him or if it's somebody else
really?
In the shop. Yeah, what else other reason is it? They haven't even talked to management.
What, of Oxy?
No, Paramount.
Oh, yeah, I know. Paramount is just a, that's an open book.
But,
that's
yes, it was a good transition because, of course, they are the largest
by
far.
No, I mean, he buys Oxy.
Are they going to buy the rest of Oxy?
Well, they should. I mean, if you're doing a creeping tender offer. But, I mean, the problem with Oxy is that everyone says, ooh, I got to buy it. And then they realize that oil's going down. I think oil's bottoming here.
I was
going
to say.
That was my theme last night. I think oil's bottoming.
There's a piece on the tape today that the White House has blown their chance to refill the SPR. And that sale that we had for 2 weeks.
He's got a great short and cover. He just has to cover. You got to cover. You got to ring the register. Remember when I spoke to the president when he was a senator and he was so proud of being the poorest man in the Senate? Doesn't sound like he's actually the Jay Gould of
So you don't think he's a good trader, is what you're saying?
Well, I think he's more of a buy and hold.
So they sold, but they, right. They
dollar cost
yeah,
average.
They should be buying back lower, but they're not going to.
Dollar cost average. Look, I think you ought to just buy it. Just fill it up again. But they have this new view that we have so much oil in the country that it's not as the necessity that it used to.
Well, you tweeted about nat gas at least last night.
My God, nat gas could go under too. I mean, you're not going to make any money in nat gas. But that means because you got to have that Freeport facility open up.
Now it is starting to open.
Yeah,
the Freeport facility is beginning to open.
I mean, there is just, like, there's too many. You know, we were supposed to, there was no Russian offensive that took out natural gas capacity, and it wasn't a cold winter. And so we're swimming in nat gas. We can't export enough of it. Look at that. It could go below the cost of production very easily.
Wow.
Well, actually, in some cases, it is close.
4 to 2.
Now, Sempra's building a very good pipeline.
Pioneer said anything below 2 makes it very difficult for
producers. Well, my trust owns Pioneer, and it's been a very challenged time for Scott Sheffield, but he's able to pivot more to oil. The one that has the most natural gas as a percentage is Coterra, and they actually made the quarter. It's kind of funny. But I do believe that oil is bottomed. Natural gas is a different animal entirely. By the way, you know, what's going to happen to New England? They've shut most of Nuke. Solar's not enough. Isn't that sunny there? I mean, I think New England is going to be a lot like Germany.
Like Germany?
Yes.
Like springtime.
No, when
in Germany.
No, like them bombing Pearl Harbor. I mean, no,
sorry, I'm going on vacation for a couple of weeks.
I can tell you're
on an intellectual vacation right now. Listen.
That was a good one.
I just think if you shut down all forms of energy and you don't extend the pipelines, there'll be a lot of angry voters. Even more angry voters than would be in TikTok if you want it to go full circle.
There'll be a lot of angry teenage girls, man.
Well, yeah, they're going to vote their darn fool heads off.
Something else will come along.
Yeah,
maybe. Why can't the Communist Party just say, you know what?
Here we go again with the Communist Party. All roads in his mind lead to the Communist Party of China.
I actually think that the biggest existential threat to our country is Taiwan. I do. That's what I...
By the way, nearer term, if the Chinese start to arm the Russians, that's also a huge threat.
It's like the Manchurian candidate, the original one.
Because the sanction, everything that will happen as a result, if that were to actually happen, would be very bad.
Thank him for recognizing that there was indeed a Cold War for many years.
Queen of Hearts, right? Was it the Queen of Hearts?
All right, guys.
Angela Lansbury.
Ah, yes. All right, I'm going to do a quick favor report here on ongoing potential auction in M&A land. It's kind of fun.
Are you an Emerson?
No.
You an Emerson?
No. I'm doing WWE.
Oh, so you should do an Emerson.
You should be a wrestling character. I could see you in a ring, bouncing around.
You don't take too interactive as well.
Yeah. WWE. Why? Well, because, of course, this company is in the process potentially of being sold. A lot of people had doubts about it for any number of reasons, including, of course, whether or not Vince McMahon, who still owns, what, 37% of the company, and, you know, in many ways controls it, would ever really sell. We'll get to that in a minute. But from what I'm hearing, at least from people familiar with the situation, is shaping up to pretty good sale process. You know, some people saying pretty hot and heavy. And those who even were somewhat doubtful, in fact, that you get to a sale at the end seem less so. Does that mean that something gets done here? Listen, unclear. Who's participating? We can all take our various guesses. Obviously, as I reported previously, is there interest from Endeavor, for example, in pursuing what would be a complex transaction in terms of a reverse Morris Trust, where they would spin off UFC into NewCo and control that company, which would be merged with WWE? Sure, they'd like to explore that concept. Is there private equity interest on the part of some? Yes, when perhaps in partnership with well-known names in the sport. That's a possibility. Does Liberty have an interest, at least, in taking a look? Sure. The Saudis moved heavily into golf, as we know, took a look at Formula One. So would the PIF have interest? Yes, that's a possibility. There may be others, but something has led, at least, to a number of people close to this to indicate to me that it is not just live, but it's going quite well. It is expected to, we'll see, conclude in the not-too-distant future. A key here, though, remains McMahon's real willingness to sell. It's a topic that I brought up with the company's CEO not that long ago, right here on the set. Listen to what he had to say.
Vince has declared to the board, to me, to other upper management, he is 100% open to a transaction where he's not included in the company moving forward. I really believe he's looking for the best value for the shareholders. Keep in mind, he's also a large shareholder. He's 77 years old, and I think he's ready to take a look at the landscape.
If he really does take a look at that landscape, it would appear then it is going to be populated by potential buyers for the company. We're talking about $500 million in EBITDA. You can make your own guesses in terms of what that's worth. Big television contract needs to be renegotiated in the not-too-distant future. Our parent company, by the way, is the main, I mean, between Peacock and USA. That's where wrestling gets seen. And they got WrestleMania coming up. It's like their Super Bowl. That's real near term. By the way, again, Comcast, my understanding, not part of this sale process.
You know, they have an unbelievable subscription business.
Yes, direct-to-consumer they had. Really, yeah, they fabulous. Were the first to do that.
So let me ask them. I know they have some really smart people involved, because I know some people involved. Why have they been so much better at direct-to-consumer than so many others?
I don't know.
Is this just a rabid fan base?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very contained, strong fan base. That said, I mean, Peacock obviously is an important distribution partner for them.
They had incredible research, target research, understand the top of the funnel concept. Carl, they had the best minds I've ever met in subscription working there. And they're unheralded. They've moved on to other places. But it's a huge winner. And they've managed to be, they're very lucrative. And I would, if I were Disney, I would just, Peacock, anyway, the team is available.
Yeah.
Team's available.
Yeah. Well, given what we how we talk about the importance of sports in media, it seems a natural. We'll watch that. Lyft, Jim, co-founders Logan Green, John Zimmer are out as CEO and president. David Risher, board member, is going to take that role. It's a lot
what
of chatter today about
night.
Whether it sets them up for something.
What
else.
A great interview last night that Deirdre did. I mean, I came back, Deirdre Bosa, I came back and said, these guys have failed to pivot. I mean, you know, look, it's like DoorDash, okay? DoorDash, they've pivoted. Dara's pivoted. Obviously, the leader of the pivot at this point now, pivot meaning going to actual Gap problem. We haven't mentioned Salesforce, which David is crushing it. So Lyft didn't do it. A lot of people just beat off the desk, David, have said they're just too nice.
Too nice.
They're
can't
nice
be
guys.
Nice, man.
Well, they're nice.
Nice is not going to get you anywhere. It's going to get you a $3.8 billion market value even when your stock's up.
Well, I mean, I think there's something to be said that they're not cutthroat business people.
Well, they're in a cutthroat business.
Well, okay. There you go.
Let's get to Deirdre Bosa to talk more about the changes and what it may portend. Morning, Dee.
Good morning, guys. I've been listening to your conversation. It's unclear whether the new CEO, David Risher, is going to be more cutthroat than Zimmer and Green. You're right. They were known as sort of the nice guys. They were better to their riders and to their drivers. Speaking of David Risher, I did speak to him last night. I asked him what's the first thing he's going to do as CEO. Have a listen.
I think you start by making sure you're priced competitively.
Okay.
At the beginning, if people are looking at both apps and we're not winning or at least matching, I think we got a problem.
That sounds like the price wars are going to recontinue.
As you drive volume, assuming the economics super quickly are, every time a person takes a ride, we make a little money, right? So we got to make sure that we get people taking a lot of rides so we can make a lot more money. And then we got to make sure that our cost position is appropriate so that over time we can drop that to the bottom line.
Jim, I was really trying to figure out what that pivot will be. He's got to do something different because the stock's been in the garbage. As you well know, IPO'd at $72 a share. It's now what, after today's pop, a little higher than $10 a share. He was short on answers, however. The only time he said, you know, we're going to be competitive price-wise leads to potentially price wars, which wouldn't be good for the whole ride-sharing complex. But it's unclear how he's going to do that. I mean, he also hasn't been a corporate executive for more than a decade. He had stints at Microsoft, at Amazon, but he's been in the nonprofit world. So I wonder if he's going to be equipped for Wall Street. He came out, he was confident, but like I said, few answers.
Given that he's from the nonprofit world, he understands the Lyft model quite well. I got to tell you, George, when I listened to your interview, I felt that this was a person with Amazon talents. What they've lacked, I think, is a clear path to profitability. This man definitely knows it. I came away from your interview thinking, wow, I got to reopen the book again because this guy's just too smart to avoid. Now, that may just be because you brought him out on a lot of different subjects and I thought it was a great interview. But I just said, this is not the same Lyft under this man. So anyway, congratulations on getting him. And I think it's an important call.
Well, thank you for saying that, Jim. I did ask him, too, if he's going to be able to operate independently, how involved Green and Zimmer were going to be. He said he's going to operate independently, but that dual share structure is still in place, keep in mind.
Well, hard to do it's hard to do mergers. I mean, I sit next to David. David, I mean, I can't even get you to do Emerson.
Get me to do
but
it?
I've stopped trading on that one.
Yeah. Very nice. Thanks, Dee. We do have some headlines regarding Sam Bankman-Fried, a new superseding indictment. For that, we'll get to Eamon Jabbers. Hey, Eamon.
Yeah, good morning, Carl. Federal prosecutors adding a superseding indictment here against Sam Bankman-Fried, and they are now, in this case, charging the founder of FTX with conspiring to violate anti-bribery provisions of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. They're saying here in this new document that just dropped a few minutes ago that Sam Bankman-Fried was involved in a bribery plot in China. They say that Bankman-Fried wanted to unfreeze certain accounts in China, was not able to get Chinese government cooperation in order to do that, and decided that bribery was allegedly the way to go here. They're saying after months of failed attempts to unfreeze the accounts, SBF, the defendant, discussed with others and ultimately agreed to and directed a multi-million dollar bribe to seek to unfreeze the accounts. They're saying that it was a $40 million bribe that was transferred to one or more Chinese government officials to unfreeze the accounts. The bribe apparently worked, guys. They say here in the superseding indictment, at or around the time of the $40 million bribe payment, the accounts were unfrozen. They say after confirmation that the accounts were unfrozen, Bankman-Fried authorized the transfer of additional tens of millions of dollars in cryptocurrency to complete the bribe. So we don't know exactly who was being bribed here, or it looks like the total amount just yet, but at least a $40 million initial payment in cryptocurrency transferred to one or more Chinese officials. Guys, this document is quite lengthy. Looks like it's about 43 pages. So we're going through it now. We'll bring any additional details as we learn them. Back over to you.
Eamon, appreciate that. Eamon Jabbers. Yeah, Jim?
No, I think that may just continue. There's a drumbeat going on in Washington. This morning, excellent interview that we have with the CFTC head. We know that the SEC, that Gensler's very upset with Coinbase. We know the CFTC is very upset with Binance. We listened to that. The congressional enemies of the SEC have legion on trying to get something done here. What would happen if the SEC went after, directly after both Coinbase and Binance, and just went for the emergency temporary restraining order, dude? What would happen?
Yeah, the terms they used this morning, I mean, ongoing fraud, I mean, mincing
I mean, I'm listening to this, I'm just saying, okay, but then, of course, the CFTC immediately backs up and says, listen, we don't really have the ability to do anything. And then they come out and say, listen, but we can do an injunction, we get for injunctive relief. You go for injunctive relief against Binance, go for injunctive relief against Coinbase, you got a pincer move by the CFTC and the SEC, and then you've got this backed up there? I got to tell you, if the arrogance of these guys is amazing. You ever been in front of the SEC?
No.
Here's what you say. Yes, sir. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Those are two great words to say. If you're ever, like, in there, yes.
Can I Can I do it in front of my fireplace like Gensler does with us every time?
Take the vacation. Someone just hinted me saying, listen, Jim, you got to be careful, McCormick. It was up 3 when I said I liked it. Now it's up 9. I'm so glad I'm careful. Shut up, people.
Dow's got about 50-point gain to start the day. Busy day in bank regulation as we get Senate banking in a little bit. Take a look at bonds as well. As the 2-year back above 4, what a round trip that was. We're going to watch that back in just a moment. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
I've got my 12 o'clock conference, so I'm convening the investing club. And just in time, Morgan Stanley makes Emerson, which is one of my worst names, their top pick. They think that they're either going to get NATI, David, or that maybe go back and do a buyback. Now, Emerson has been in free fall ever since they announced what turned out to be a hostile takeover. I thought this was very important, if not just because face saving, because I really felt very embarrassed that I picked the stock. You know, that's what, like, you ever hear, like, managers are always on our shows, and they never say they're embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I did a bad job because I believed, but maybe, you know, 16 times earnings, maybe anything can happen.
It's a natural human emotion. That the other Morgan Stanley note we didn't mention was Jonas on who in the world is going to make entry-level price cars.
Boy, he was talking about how the Ford dealer was unhappy that didn't have some bad car. That was a very interesting piece because it was provocative, and we didn't get it. It was provocative. We didn't even mention Tesla. Seatbelts.
Tesla's down 1.5%, actually, different than the rest of the sector, at least.
And we never talked about Katie Ubrey's, her chart she's looking at, which was internet, U.S. retail internet coming back. That's Walmart, but I'm telling you, that's Amazon. Now, if Amazon were to go over to China right now and offer, like, listen, we'll split this company up, you know what they'd say? What, do you think we're idiots like Americans?
It's actually a great chart about sort of curbside, which is less dilutive than delivered to home. Yeah, pretty amazing.
I thought that was an amazing stop trading chart.
What's on tonight?
Well, I'm going, you know, tonight.
Tell me.
Well, I'm going to offer charts that are going to blow your mind.
It's just you.
What?
It's just you tonight.
I got my call, David. You might want to listen. I do a monthly, I got a club.
I heard you got a club. Not a club I can get
into. Groucho March.
Have you as a member?
Yes. Make fun of me.
See you tonight, Jim.
Give that man a duck.
Bad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Just about every sector is green this morning. Dow with a modest gain of 44 points. Don't go away.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.